So how does it feel to bring the Stoker verse and Dracula to Legacy?
Oh, I think it's a natural fit. Legacy Comics is passionate about innovative story and detail in the artwork. So, when I proposed this project, I knew it would be a good partnership.
Awesome. How did you get involved in this passion that you have for Dracula? What does Dracula mean to you?
I'm going to be honest, it's not really a passion for Dracula. What happened was that I penned a Dracula comic, which was published about 2 years ago. It was Dracula, Lord of the Future, and it was set in a sci-fi world where a group of scientists, sort of like a Wayne Aljitani corporation, kidnap Dracula, torture him, and try and create miracle drugs from his DNA. Dracula gets out and kills everybody. And I was asked to write this for a particular comic book company, and I thought, well, do you know what? I want to send this to the Bram Stoker estate because if it's not representative of the Dracula they want to portray, maybe I can just do another vampire. I didn't. I have a passion for Bram Stoker, and that was that passion for Bram Stoker and that respect for Bram Stoker that made me do that. And then Decker Stoker, he's the great grandnephew of Bram Stoker, contacted me, really liked the comic, and we started to chat about doing some comic books together. That's then escalated into us to creating a company called Stoker and Macaulay. And we got a publishing deal for comics, novels, and audios. Our first comic book came out last January. It was an update of Bram Stoker's classic short, The Squaw, and we called it The Virgin's Embrace. We sort of modernized it a little bit. We injected various little nods to the creation of Dracula. It was set in Nuremberg, and anybody who knows anything about the Order of Dracul will be able to tell you that Nuremberg was pivotal because it was there where the Emperor Sigmundson created and conferred the Order of Dracul to Vlad the Impaler's father, Vlad the Second. So we have a little nod to that, I think a little plaque or something that the artist put in one of the walls. Also, we put there's a character, Elias, and he is Quincy Morris's father. It was that was the first that was the first comic that came out with the Stoker verse. And then we moved on to audio. So I'd written an audio, and we had stars of Doctor Who in Hollywood voice the audio. We started, it was from then we started to explore the themes of Dracula. So really getting into the characters, looking at the motivation behind the characters in a way that hasn't really been explored before. I mean, we're looking at 125 years of a character. So for 125 years, he's been regularly portrayed in cinema, novels, comics, video games. But what the Stokerverse brings is the original interpretation of Dracula, which is very hard to find. I think there's only two films that have tried that. Now people point to Bram Stoker's Dracula, but it's not really Bram Stoker's Dracula. It's Francis Ford Coppola's Dracula. There's very little in that film in '92 that's anything to do with the original novel. So that was the passion, and that's where when we started to explore Dracula with the audio, that's where it came out. And then we've just released a novel with some comic book elements in it called Dracula's Bedlam. And we've released a lot of stories and anthologies and magazines in and around not just Dracula, but Bram Stoker, the Bram Stoker universe. We've also got games coming out and now we have this opportunity with Legacy. And that's what the 8-page Ashcan's about. It's about zooming in on a character, Renfield, and being as authentic as we possibly can about Renfield. There are many different interpretations of Renfield.
Why do you think Renfield is an important character to be explored in an ashcan?
Renfield met Dracula before Jonathan Harker did. But if I asked you, Patrick, what do you know about Renfield during that time period? What would you say?
Next to nothing. I just know about the crazy person in the mental institution. I don't know much about the person before.
And that's why it's perfect for it. I don't want to explore 124 years of what's been gone before. I want the 125th year to be a rediscovery of the classic characters. So Renfield was an educated man. He was actually the partner of Hawkins. He was the solicitor that sent John von Harker out to Dracula's castle. But he went to Dracula's castle first. He encountered Dracula before Harker. He went through that hellish environment before Harker did. And we see the results of that in the novel. We see the results of what happened to his mind, you know, the corruption of his spirit. And I think that's an interesting character to explore. Renfield's not evil in any way, shape, or form. Renfield is extremely confused. I mean, if you think of Dracula as a cult leader, he's basically brainwashed Renfield into that, you know, that sentence, the blood is the life. And driven him mad. The elements that I find fascinating with Renfield is the little chinks of light in him. He has moments of compassion, especially with Mina, when he urges Mina to get away. And ultimately that action costs his life, and Dracula kills him. But actually breaks his body in so many different places. You know, parts of him were leaking out of his various orifices. It's particularly grotesque death in the book. But that's why he's a good character to explore. And I've explored him before in other media, but not quite like this. And I think with an Ashcan, we've got the challenge and the opportunity is you've got 8 pages to do it. So therefore you can really crystallize and focus in on specific moment and point in his life. And we go into the story before the novel.
Mm-hmm.
We're also, we start during the novel, we then segue into moments before the novel. And I liked that. I thought that was a good opportunity to do that.
Okay. So what are your goals for this comic? What, like in a perfect world, what happens when this comic is released? How do you want people to absorb the story that you're telling?
I'm out to fucking psychologically maim people with my work. I want people to re-encounter the dread and the terror of Dracula. The big problem with Dracula is he's not scary anymore. Hollywood has romanticized him so much that he's a sex symbol. Yep. Dracula's not a sex symbol. If I take you back to the novel and you see Mina drinking Dracula's blood, being forced to drink Dracula's blood. Dracula is a dead cadaver. What she's consuming is a mixture of blood and pus and dead flesh. That is Dracula's unholy communion. She's been forced to partake of that. There's literally nothing erotic about Dracula. He's dead. You know, his penis doesn't work. That's why there's the oral. I mean, Freud and Jung looked at vampirism. There's an oral fixation because literally the genitalia doesn't work. So there's nothing really that erotic about that scene. It's truly horrific and terrifying. But we've somehow got into the mindset through Hollywood that, oh, Jesus, that was very romantic. Well, that's because Ford Coppola tacked on some story about Vlad and, you know, his wife. And, you know, that's not in the novel. That's pure fantasy. Dracula wasn't coming to London for a booty call with Lucy and Mina. He's coming to take over the Victorian Empire. He wants to rule the world again, and he's a warlord. So of course he's going to do that. Why he takes interest in Mina is revenge because Harker escapes. And why he takes interest in Lucy is because he wants revenge on Van Helsing. So he picks Lucy because he knows Seward will go to Van Helsing for help. And he knows that Van Helsing and his hubris will proclaim that he will be able to save Lucy. When Van Helsing can't save Lucy, Dracula knows that the only recourse that Van Helsing has is to take the men who loved Lucy and say, first of all, we have to desecrate Lucy's memory because she's now a vampire and she's stealing children. And secondly, desecrate Lucy's body by, you know, impaling her, cutting her head off and putting garlic in it. Dracula's hoping that with these kind of statements that Van Helsing is isolated away from the other men and is left truly alone and defeated. Of course, that doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. Van Helsing's able to convince the men to go and confront Lucy in the crypt. So I think that's one of the prime reasons I write Dracula. It's to bring that horror back, the narcissistic sociopath from the undead narcissistic sociopath, the creature who can turn into a wolf at will, who can invade your bedroom, who can take over your very will. He's evil personified. In Bram's notes, he wasn't known as Dracula, he was known as Count Deville. He was meant to be the devil, the representation of the devil on earth. It's literally what Dracula is. So I think that's what I would like to come from the comic, that, you know, there's a re-engagement with that horror aspect of Dracula. Through Renfield's experiences, I mean, there's a particular scene where we really do see that horror of Dracula and an almost cult influence. Mm-hmm. So I think that's primarily what I'm hoping that people experience through the comic.
Okay. You've seen some of Steve Conjay's art. How do you feel having him in the fold as the artist for this book?
Yeah, I think he's perfect for it. I think he's got a very expressive form of art. I like his use of color. And I also like when I've seen his inks, they're very strong. I like strong ink work. I like the especially when I look at his black and whites, you know, the line work's just amazing. It's smooth, very, very smooth, very hard to smooth ink work. But he's got that talent and ability.
Is there anything else that you want to add about the book or Stokeverse or anything to get our readers excited about this upcoming project?
Yeah, there are elements of the comic book which have not been seen before in this media. In fact, I'll go out on a limb. I can't say for certain if they've been discussed in academic books before, but I know that that there's particular elements that has not been seen before and comes directly from what's termed as the lost version of Dracula, or, you know, Bram's notes, for example. This sort of depicts Dracula as a bit of a genetic scientist. So Stoker actually saw Dracula as a genetic scientist. He crafts creatures that are half man, half apes in the original version of the novel. And there's a scene, a Red Room scene in the original version of the novel where there's a sacrifice that takes place in front of these ape creatures. So we use that in the 8 pages and we bring that out. And I think it brings a very distinct flavor of Dracula that hasn't been seen before. To the script. So I'm hoping that readers enjoy that.